There should be an all-in-one store for single people that where you don't have to buy like an absorbent amount of stuff. You can just buy it for a little bit. I don't have to explain it. Chelsea Handler is
Nope.
not funny. One
Oh,
cannot one cannot do homage with blackface on. The DNC robbed Bernie Sanders of an equal opportunity to possibly become president. The DNC has to stop calling upon rappers for black insight. There are black intellectuals for that. And one last one. Oh yeah, let's normalize phone calls. We don't have to do everything on Zoom.
True.
Is that it? I think that's about it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Zoom does make it easy to have like multiple lot of, it's easier to have a lot of people on at once on Zoom at once than on a phone call though. That's like I can talk to my mom for like half an hour. I can talk to my sister for half an hour. I can talk to my other sister for half an hour. But to talk to everyone at once and we all in hanging out, that's, you know, a different thing.
Yeah. Sometimes I
It
don't
is.
want to be perceived. That's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to even go into the nuance, but I hear
Hey-o.
you and I see you. So it's all good on my end. And yes, there's going to
10
be a little
seconds.
bit of this. Oh, yes. I
Oh, we
think,
got to
yeah, 10
shut it
seconds.
down.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. Appreciate you, Sonia. Appreciate you all. See you. This has been The Gap on KB 90.7
KBOO
FM.
Community Radio holds open meetings
Ooh, played off
concerning
by
the
the
operations
automation.
and
Bye, girls. See you
programming of
next time.
KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, board meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month starting at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
It's KBOO Portland. It's 9 a.m. It's the third Friday. Time for Veterans Voice Hour. Stay tuned.
It isn't nice to block the doorway. It isn't nice to go to jail. There are nicer ways to do it. It isn't nice, you told us once. shot Medgar in the back. Did you say that it wasn't proper? Did you stand out on the track? You are quiet just like mice. Now you say that we're not nice. But if that's freedom's price, we don't mind. Oh, 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 we don't mind.
Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 FM Corvallis, 91.9 FM Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. And you can hear our earlier shows at KBOO.FM/Veterans Voice. One word, Veterans Voice. I'm Marvin, and Sonia's engineering the show, and I'm glad she's here. That song was by Barbara Dane, and Barbara Dane has been around for a long, long time. She's 91 years old, and she's still going strong. She has such a pure, clear voice. She's been part of the peace movement for a long time, and worked in the anti-racist movement. She's with this song here and a couple of other songs. The backup singers for her were the Chamber Brothers, and she has sung with so many other people. It's just and a lot of people look at her and say, you know, it was because of Barbara Dane that I got into to singing like this. And she sang with people like Pete Seeger and just a bunch of other people. And like I said, she's 91 years old and going strong. So Barbara Dane, if you can go on the internet and put her name in, and you can hear some other. She was not only was she a folk singer, she's also a jazz singer, and she's. Like I said, her voice is just so clear and strong. She's just a wonderful person. Before I get started, I've been really worried about my friends and family that I have in Vietnam, and because Vietnam's been hit with typhoons for 3 times this year, just devastating typhoons, and these typhoons. In the Pacific, they're called, we call them hurricanes. Asia calls them typhoons. But when they get going hard, they end up going through the Philippines, and just they've had just a horrible time also. So many people have been killed by these 3 typhoons. And then they go into Vietnam, they pick up speed. Going into Vietnam, and they usually hit in the same areas. It's the ones that get hit hard usually are Da Nang on the coast and also Hue on the coast. And what it does, it raises the river, the Perfume River, just so high, and it starts flooding out both sides of the river in the newer part, which is old, and the old quarters, and just people's homes are just, you know, completely flooded out. Ling and her family, they've been flooded out twice. I tried to call them in Hue, and I couldn't get through, so I called Lon up in Hanoi and asked her how it was up there, and she says it was just, they were just getting rain and some wind, but no flooding. I asked her about, has she talked to Ling down in Hue, and she says she did. She got through. She said the power had been out and the phone service was down, but she did get through, and Ling and her family's doing really well. And but they did get flooded out again, and their house is just a one story. It's two stories, but it's real thin. They don't make them over there. They don't make them long. They make them thin and tall. And so her house is like that. But Lonnie said that the bottom floor just got completely flooded. And the bottom floor of Ling's house is the family room, the kitchen, and the bathroom. So they got a lot of work to do when this typhoon season's over. But they're doing well. And I sent a message to Ling, and she's going to send me a message back and let me know how everything's going. And but, you know, you have friends. You got to take care of them. You got to keep up with them, especially with what's going on now with the COVID-19. Boy, over 250,000 Americans have died, and I don't know how many worldwide have died. My friend that works on this stuff told me that the best thing to do is have a mask and also keep your hands clean and distance. And he said that he is not going anywhere on Thanksgiving. He's going to stay home with his wife and his son. So I think that's a good idea for people, because we have to bring this down. We got to get it stopped. I'm going to stay home. Me and Sadie Doggy are going to be here together, and I'm going to get her some sliced turkey. And I don't eat meat, so I'll just have vegetables as usual. But we're going to stay home. My brother's staying home down in Yahat. And I got a text from him yesterday, and his grandchildren live in Idaho, and his ex-son-in-law has COVID-19. And his granddaughter and his great-granddaughter both have it. And, it's just, when it gets that close to home, I mean, I worry about everybody getting it, but when it gets that close to home, you know, it's a pretty horrible thing. And I haven't talked to him today, so I'll talk to him and see how they're doing over there. I know that they didn't have a mask mandate over there, but I think they do now. But, you know, she's only 6 years old, and she's got COVID. I mean, she's got COVID-19. So that's pretty bad. I'm really worried about her. But I also have a thing here. Troops stand down for Black Lives. If you have concern about mobilizing, you're not alone. You have options, you have rights, and to contact veterans who can help. And it's support@aboutfaceveterans.org, or you can call the GI hotline at 877-447-4487. And if you have a relative that's going to be deployed, and they you know, they want some information about you know, their rights about not going if they can do that. But that's a good group, About Face Veterans Organization. So you can email them again at support@aboutfaceveterans.org. And the picture, this is from the Vietnam Veteran Gets the War, the veteran newspaper that I get, and the picture of troops stand down for Black Lives, and it's got these soldiers standing, and they all giving the peace sign, which is pretty cool. just because they're in the service, they got rights. They have rights. They don't, they can't take all the rights away from them. So they do have rights. So they can stand up. I read this article, and it's just so horrible. Kyle Rittenhouser, the young 17-year-old boy that shot and killed two people and wounded another one at Kenosha, Wisconsin, and he did an interview. He's on $2 million bail, but he hasn't got the money. He's still in jail. But he said that he bought that rifle using the pandemic funds he got by the rifle, and he was too young to buy it, so he had a friend of his buy it for him, and the friend is now having trouble with the law, and he's going to get in a lot of trouble too. But the kid was just he was 17, too young to buy a rifle. Shot and killed two people, wounded another, walked right by the police, got in his car, went home. Next morning, gets up, tells his mom that he shot and killed two people, go to the police station, and they arrest him. But that's how quick things happen. And people don't understand, those rifles, as fast as you pull that trigger, it'll fire a round out. So I know that the kid was really scared, because he had shot and wounded the one guy, and people were chasing him down to get the rifle from him and not let him get away, and he tripped and fell, and he pulled that rifle around and started firing again, and that's when he killed the two other people. So I think old Kyle Rittenhouse is in a lot of trouble. So I just have a problem with these kids getting these guns and shooting at each other. It's just crazy. I've always said, and I still believe it, that the number one problem in this country is racism. It's racism. I mean, it's been such a problem, with so many deaths because of racism. And I was going through some news shows, and I stopped when I saw this one's banner that was up, and of all places, it was on Fox News, which I never, I can't say I never watch it, because I want to see what they're saying about the same thing. I was listening to them, what they said about Vice President Biden, winning the Electoral College, and the way it's just like this complete opposite of what like MSNBC or CNN say. It's just like opposite. But this news broadcaster for Fox was talking, and then he stopped, and he said, "This is look at this sign," and what the sign said was, "Coming for blacks and Indians first, welcome to the new world order." And that was at that so-called mega march in DC, which they'd ever had a million people there, but that's that sign, institutionalized racism. When they can boldly walk down the street carrying their weapons and carrying signs like that, that's just unbelievable. It's just, we had it here in Portland. where these people come in from out of town and bring their rifles and their pistols and whatever and stand. And, you know, one guy got arrested from, I think he was a Proud Boy or Boogaloo Boy, one of the two, where he pulled out his pistol and had it pointed at Antifa and the other folks. And he did get arrested, and I haven't heard what he got charged with, but at least they got him, you know. My niece was saying, she lives in Idaho also, and she was saying that these right-wingers, these fascist white supremacists are very bold. You know, they walk around with their pistols and their rifles and don't have any qualms about it. And they like the Boogaloo Boys, they're violent. You know, they've been in a lot of street fights and different problems. And that does, you know, they don't have a problem with it. The Klan does the same thing. The American Nazi Party does the same thing. You know, this guy, Trump, has given them the green light. I don't know what Biden's going to do. I hope he stands up, and because even the Department of Justice say that these right-wing groups are a problem. They're, you know, they're terrorists, you know, domestic terrorists. So, but, you know, we can't let them come in to any state or any town and not confront them for what they're doing, what the racism, the hate that they have for black and brown people and Asian people. But coming for blacks and Indians, I've never seen that one before. And Indians, that's a first for me. But if you ain't white, you ain't right with those folks. So that's a real, real problem that we have to, you know, keep our eye on and not let this thing spread. I was also, you know, but also a Portland Police Department stops people of color way more than they stop white folk. You know, that was just in, I think it was the Oregonian, where it was talking about how the police department stops and younger black, young black folks. And that's just, you know, built-in racism right there. I can't imagine what these young black folk and Hispanic and Asian kids have to go through when they driving or walking around or whatever, and the police come up and stop them. I've read stories about fathers and mothers sitting their kids down and talking to them about how they should answer the cops when they talk to them. These, you know, they're citizens just like I am, just like you are, but they're getting treated completely different. You know, they have just the same rights as the rest of us, but they get picked on and attacked more than anybody. How many young black men and women, boys and girls, have been shot by the police in the last 5 years? How many of these kids have been abused by the police? I read an article about this young girl. A black girl was having a swimming party at the gated community that she lived in with her parents. And the neighbors, they were having a party, and kids get loud when they have parties. And these kids were having a party, and a neighbor called the cops on them. And the cops showed up, and the girl went to tell them that she lives here and everything, and the cop grabbed her and threw her down on the ground. A young girl, she was in her early teens. They would never have done that to a white girl. I'm just pretty sure that wouldn't happen unless the girl pulled a knife on them or something, that they would, they might do something like that. But, you know, they're our brothers and our sisters. They're the citizens just the same as I am. They have every right that I have and you have, but they're not getting them. The other thing I was reading was about Trump got rid of some leaderships in the Pentagon and put his own lackeys in there. And he's going to pull the troops, almost all the troops, out of Iraq and Afghanistan. So, boy, you know, that's a tough one. Because if you know, it's like the old Pottery Barn. If you break it, you own it. So the whole thing about having those troops there, it just caused more trouble than it probably would have without those troops there. And especially when George W. Bush sent troops into Iraq for no reason at all. For no reason at all. And when that country went, tore apart, that's when the violence really started. They had America, United States had mercenaries in there, and so many innocent people were killed, murdered by the American forces and the mercenaries. So that really started, to me, really started the whole violence in that area, was when he sent those troops into Iraq. Right now, Australia is going to put some of their special forces on trial for killing civilians. There might have been Syria, I'm not sure, but they're going to be put on trial, the special forces. And the woman lawyer who's working on it, she was very interested. I listened to her on NPR, and she was very interested. She was talking about the good old boy club that's in the military, where, you know, you can't show any weaknesses, you can't show any, you know, caring about who you're fighting for. And that's just same in the American military. You know, I remember guys that wanted to go on a sick call, and some of the older guys that, not older, but guys that had been there longer, really gave them a hard time about it. You know, I never got the sick call, you know, I just kept on pushing through, man. But it's the whole thing, that macho crap that goes on in the military. And I don't know how, if it's going to change at all with women now being in combat arms. Basically the infantry, they can be in the infantry now, but they've been flying assault helicopters, they've been flying jets for quite a while. You know, now they're on nuclear submarines. But that whole mindset, you know, about not caring or not letting it get to you, and you can't fall back on that old saying, I was only following orders, because that's not going to fly. Look what in My Lai in Vietnam, when they killed over 500 innocent men, women, and children, the only person that they got was Lieutenant Calley, and it was a lot more than him that was pulling those triggers that day in Vietnam at My Lai. And he got off. I think Nixon pardoned him for what he did. But for some reason, people feel that if their military's in harm's way, that you got to support them no matter what. And I don't think that's true at all. I just don't believe that. because a lot of guys, I've talked to a lot of men and women who were in Afghanistan and Iraq, and boy, they're really suffering, some of them still to this day. They have such survivor's guilt, you know, and they just feel really bad about some of the things they did and saw while they were in the combat, you know, seeing civilians getting blown up, seeing their buddies getting blown up and dying and being wounded so bad, and you know, they couldn't really say anything about it. They just had to suck it up and move on. And that's a real problem. When they get home, they don't know how to deal with it. So there's a lot of drinking and a lot of drugs and a lot of divorces. A lot of divorces. I've never seen anything about how many Gulf War veterans have gone to prison. But I remember that when we had our little place on 28th and Burnside, that we got a letter from the prison in Sheraton, and it was a Gulf War vet was talking about the trouble he was having, and the thing, he was an infantryman in Iraq, and so he was talking about all that, and he's not getting any, he wasn't getting any help for his PTSD, and he was being, you know, treated different from the other soldier, I mean, the other prisoners. It was just a really interesting letter. So I've got him in contact with the veterans, you know, the VA, to see if he could get some counseling and everything. So he never did write back or talk back, you know, send me anything back. Sonia, can you play that second song for me, please?
Coming right up.
All right, it's a really good song. We'll talk about it after. Thanks, Sonia.
Now who's gonna fight in World War III? The boots may hit the ground, but you won't see me. No, I ain't killing Russians for the land of the unfree. But who's gonna fight in World War III? Welcome to our nightmare, the devil has confirmed. Your vote it never counted, so skip your turn. When all is said and done, oh, it's all gonna burn. Rome wasn't burned in just one day. You have no nation and you have no name. They flood our homelands full of filth and say that you're to blame. So why should I die and scratch my family name? Oh, just to be a loser in your game. So who's gonna fight in World War III? The boots may hit the ground, but you won't see me. No, I ain't killing Russians for the land of the unfree. But who's gonna fight in World War III? You who lead the circus, well, we ain't your pets. And we ain't fight your endless wars while we drown in debt. We'll never be the same, but there's been no changes yet. Except the blood of our soil. Dear Donnie, are you listening? You lost our respect. You're just another shill for an oligarchical wreck. And when the body bags start coming home, don't you forget, yeah, well, this ain't our bloody mess. So who's gonna fight in World War III? The boots may hit the ground, but you won't see me. No, I ain't killing Russians for the land of the unfree. But who's gonna fight in World War III? Glory, glory, what a hell of a way to die. Glory, glory, what a hell of a way to die. Glory, glory, what a hell of a way to die. Our blood is on their hands. Abandon all hope, you who enter here. You're hanging by a thread on the sleeves of puppeteers. And as the empire falls, don't shed a single tear. Just come on over and give it a little shove. So who's gonna fight in World War III? The boots may hit the ground, but you won't see me. No, I ain't killing nobody for the land of the unfree. But who's gonna fight in World War III? Glory, glory, what a hell of a way to die. Glory, glory, what a hell of a way to die. Glory, glory, what a hell of a way to die. Our blood is on their hands. Fair Columbia, lay you down to sleep and pray to Israel your battered soul to keep. You may have died, and you won't wake. Oh, what difference does it even make? Still, I ain't fighting in World War III. The boots may hit the ground, no, you won't see me. No, I ain't killing Russians for the land of the unfree. So, who's gonna fight in World War III? Gonna fight in World War III? Not me. Who's gonna fight in World War III?
I just like that song. I was going around YouTube and looking up songs that I wanted to play, and I found that one, and I just like his voice and, you know, the words he put. Who's gonna fight in World War III? It won't be me. I thought that was really a good song, so I just thought I would play that. And like I was saying, I got the Vietnam Veterans of America, Vietnam Veterans Against War paper, the veteran, and there's a lot of really good stories and a lot of really good poems and different things, this is Soup Can Blues by W.D. Earnhardt. Our president says the left-wing mob are throwing soup cans at our cops instead of bricks. Easier to throw, and if you're caught, you can always say you're only trying to feed the kids. It's true that you can get a better grip on Campbell's Cream and Mushroom or Progresso Italian styled wedding than you're going to get on a brick, and cans are more aerodynamic too. But what's all this about soup? What's the matter with baked beans, canned peaches and pineapple chucks, Chef Boyardee SpaghettiOs? Surely hungry kids eat that stuff, or even tuna fish. Those little cans like flat stones or silver dollars, man. You get some wicked speed with those, like throwing a fastball at a batter's head, cruising the aisles of a looted grocery store. The possibilities are endless. Armor Star, Amy's Organics, Wild Planet. That's the trouble with our president. He can't tell the truth to save his rear, and still no imagination. I thought that was pretty good. He didn't throw in, but that's what happened downtown when the feds came and people were in the streets in front of the federal building. I saw some cans go over the top. So you can throw those cans. They are aerodynamic. There's a article I was going to read, but it's not real long, but it's a little long. It's about the Vietnam Veterans Against the War taking over the Statue of Liberty on Christmas 1971, which is really interesting. I wish I'd have done that. I would have done it. Here's a article that I really liked. It's Melissa Maddox is the daughter and niece of some Vietnam vets. In war, it's the innocent who suffer. I spent all afternoon reading my copy of The Veteran. I came to the article McNamara's Mistake by Hamilton Gregory, fall 2017. As I read, I came to the phrase McNamara's morons. My eyes filled with tears, my hands were shaking so bad that I had to put the paper down. If I'd been standing, I know what I would have. I know that I would have fallen. I remember years ago, my dad told me that when he was in Vietnam, there were a couple of men in his unit that had IQs below 75. I thought that it had to be a mistake, that those men were there by accident. My son was in LD class all of his life. When he turned 17, recruiters called the house all the time. I'd cuss them as though they weren't human. After graduation, my son couldn't find a decent job, so without telling me, he went and signed up, went to a National Guard recruiter and signed up. When I found out, I fell apart. Everyone around me knew, but they were afraid to tell me. I called the governor, senators, I wrote letters, I called the National Guard. They had some high-ranking lady call me back. She said, "Your son will go to Afghanistan with his unit when it's deployed." I didn't give up. I told my son that we would go to Canada and live there. Inevitably, all I did was push my son away. Through boot camp, if it hadn't been for help from the other soldiers, he wouldn't have made it. He wasn't making enough money, so he went mad and signed up with the Army. I knew that this would be our out. I knew that the Army wouldn't take him. They not only took him, he was in Germany a few weeks later to train, then Iraq. He was told to sleep during the day and drive a truck at night. Many times when they were in the convoy at night, there would be explosives with IEDs. He went and spoke to his company commander and told him that he was having a hard time due to his Asperger's syndrome. His commander told him to keep his mouth shut. He was bullied and ostracized by the men in his unit. He came home on leave, got in trouble, and was incarcerated. We went through years of the court system. He would wind up with a felony on his record and a dishonorable discharge. 5,478 human beings did not come home from Vietnam. My son came home from Iraq, and his discharge was changed from dishonorable to a general discharge. After my son-in-law's suicide, Iraqi veteran, I met Barry Romo, truly one of the best moments of my life. He told me about his brothers, friends, and nephew Bobby. It still devastated me when I read in The Veteran yesterday, they knew that Bobby should not have been in Vietnam. They knew that my son would not have been in Iraq, should not have been in Iraq. How many Bobbies and Landons are there? I would like for this article to be mandatory reading. We don't matter except to each other. All war is wrong. It is the innocent that suffer. But if you knowingly send your young men and women to war who are incapable of defending themselves, your sentence should be death. I came to Vietnam Veterans Against the War to say thank you. You're all still saving lives. I felt lost and alone before. I now feel like I have a family. And when she was talking about McNamara's morons, do you remember when we did the show about McNamara's 100,000, where they were taking these young men and drafting them with these really low IQs and sending them to Vietnam? A lot of them died because they just couldn't do what they were supposed to do. They would forget things. They would get lost. They would forget how to use their equipment. There was one guy that the captain, the company commander, was really worried about him, and so he made him his radio operator so he would be by the captain's side. But the kid couldn't remember the frequencies he was supposed to be on. He would forget to make sit reps or situation reports every so often, and he'd just forget that. The captain just, he didn't know what to do anymore, so he had him transferred out of his company, and he never knew what happened to that poor kid. And if he went to another infantry unit, yeah, I'm pretty sure what happened to him. But McNamara needed bodies. They needed bodies in Vietnam. And so they were sending these poor kids that had no reason to be in the military at all, especially not in a war zone. There's just no way they could do anything. You know, for them to take this kid, her son, who had an IQ of 75, and take him into the Army, you know that somebody had to help him when he took those tests with an IQ that low. But somebody definitely had to do that and put him as a truck driver in Iraq at nighttime. I just blame the military for that. His sergeants and his company commander and all the way up to the president, and just to send those kids. McNamara's 100,000. Such a sad thing, and horrible what they did to those kids. Just horrible. I had something I wanted to read, if I can find it here. Oh, hold on, I got it. There was a couple of them. Oh, okay, here's this little story written by John Kerry. John Kerry, he was former Secretary of State, and he was a senator, and he was a Vietnam veteran, and he ran for president against George, I think it was George W. Bush. But all of a sudden, it got changed around where Bush was the good veteran and never, left the States or anything and missed a lot of his duties. And here's John Kerry, who was on his second tour. His first tour was on the gun lines, and his second one was with those riverboats, and he was the bad guy. Those Republicans, Here's what he wrote. Obviously, it's a stark reminder that if you don't learn the lessons of history, you are doomed to repeat them. It's a different kind of dying, but it's coming from a misrepresentation, from ignoring reality. It's coming from an unwillingness to respond to the truth and to the lessons that we have learned. The fact is that coronavirus may be America's moment of truth, in the sense that a lot of us were despairing that we were losing the capacity to decide in our country, in our democracy, what the baseline of truth is. And there has been a different kind of war taking place. It's a war on science. It's a war on scientists. It's a war on facts. It's a willingness to completely distort the truth in favor of an ideology or of a personal election pursuit or whatever. And we're losing lives for that. I'm not dissimilar to what Richard Nixon and Lyndon Johnson and others engaged in during that time of deception when Americans was lied into the war in Vietnam. And there's a lot of COVID-19 in the military. You don't hear a lot about it on the news and everything, but there is a lot of it, the sicknesses. And even up here at the Veterans Hospital, there's quite a few veterans up there that have COVID-19. And down at the Veterans Retirement Home down in, I think it's in Albany, they had a real outbreak of COVID-19 there, where people were getting sick and were dying from this from this virus, a virus that took the whole world and set it on its head, the whole world, from a virus. It just, I'm looking again for another, what I wanted to read, if I can find it. If you're a Vietnam veteran, you should get this paper. It's really, it's the veteran. It's Vietnam Veterans Against the War veteran newspaper. Oh, here's the funny one. It's a cartoon of Mitt Romney and Donald Trump, and Romney's got his arm around Trump. Us old Vietnam veterans have to stick together. Neither one of them went to Vietnam. Neither one of them. So old Vietnam veterans have to stick together. That's pretty funny. Okay, here it is. I think I have enough time to read this to you. You know, a lot of vets are going back to Vietnam because guys have retired and was really thinking about what they did in the war and wanting to go back and see some places that they had been before. But something really bothers me with some of this. I've seen it on YouTube and I've seen it in articles and stuff, that they always take an American flag with them. An American flag. They take an American flag to Vietnam. And I just never could understand that. I remember when I was living in Vietnam, my buddy Chuck Searcy, who lives there and does a lot of work with demining of Vietnam, the demining of Vietnam. And he was telling me, he says, that some veterans group contacted him. They were coming to Vietnam, and I think they were going to ride their bicycles from Hanoi down to Ho Chi Minh City or something like that. But he said they all had these little bitty American flags that whenever they would stop someplace, they would give these flags out to the kids. You know, I just couldn't understand why they would do that, why they would give those kids an American flag. It's just, to me, it's just, I don't know. I talked to Chuck. We talked about it. He couldn't figure out what the heck they were doing. But giving out American flags, huh? Oh, something else that I saw on the news internet was where that now that Biden is kind of wavering a little bit about prosecuting Trump when he gets out, you know, when Biden becomes president and Trump's out. And that kind of brings me back to remembering what Gerald Ford did to Richard Nixon. You know, he pardoned Nixon of all crimes and future crimes or whatever, past crimes. And this guy, Trump, he just went in there with a wrecking crew and just destroyed all kinds of traditions and beliefs and put his own people with the same right-wing ideology that he had, fired the leaders of different departments. He couldn't get people through the process, so he would just, president's authority or whatever they call it, and he would just put them in there, you know, and say, well, they're here temporarily. And they just came to find out that the courts on the guy that was on DACA and stuff like that, that he was in there illegally. And just think of that. How many people got kicked out of the country by a guy who wasn't legally in that position at all? What does a kid that was brought to this country at 3, 4, 5 years old, they've grown up as an American, they speak English and they've gone through the school systems, and then he sent them back to Mexico? They have veterans that fought in Iraq and Afghanistan who've been kicked out of the country and gone back to, and made them go back to Mexico. A few of them have gotten back in, but this guy has no empathy for anybody. Not at all. He doesn't. Jeez, I just don't. I guess I wasn't born with a silver spoon, you know. He was born on second base and thinks he hit a double, but I don't know if the state of New York will really stand up and stand by what they've said they were going to do once he got out of the office, because he can't be pardoned by the federal government for things he did, you know, broke state laws. I'll bet you anybody that's ever done business with him is saying, you know, get him. But I bet his family's not happy about it, because all their crookedness is being brought out into the sunlight. So I bet they're wishing he'd have never ran for president. You know, I got a sign that I took with me down to the protest, and it says Trump, it said about veterans are not losers, and something else, Vietnam veterans, I can't remember what it was, but it was saying that, you know, he'd called guys who died in war as being losers. And he said that because he says, what was in it for them? Here's a guy who got, what, 4 or 5 deferments during the Vietnam? And then when he didn't get the school deferments, he got a minimal medical deferment from a family doctor or somebody, when 99.9% of all draft boards at that time weren't taking those, but he got one that did. He had bone spurs, of all things, bone spurs, since it was a minimal medical deferment, he could have gone into service, they would have clipped those things off, and he would have had a desk job someplace. He'd already got out of college. He went to business school or something, so he would have had a really easy job. He'd probably never left the States, but there was nothing in it for him, so he wasn't going to go. God, that's just something. You know, I didn't want to go, but I went. I went, and I didn't like it. That I don't, you know, I don't know if he can pardon himself. I've been, you know, reading up on that, pardoning himself as president. Boy, there's going to have to be a lot of changes made when this guy's gone. That's just, boy, how long is it going to get till we get things back? You know, I didn't like the way, and I still don't like the way a lot of things, you know, this government does. You know, the capitalist system is just stacked against working people. When a young kid has to go into the military because he can't find a job, that happens a lot. You know, that's an economic draft. So, and then when they do get over there, if they went through school, you know, their MOS, their job training was for one thing, and they need them for something else, they just change them over, you know. If they were like a truck driver and they need somebody to be in the artillery, they just move them right over there, and the kid doesn't have a say in it because they signed that contract that says that the military can do whatever they want because it's at the convenience of the government. So they can put him anywhere that they want. And I think Angie told me, or Kathy told me, that the suicide in the military and after of women who was sexually assaulted, raped in the military, have a very high suicide rate. And it, the more they do that. Well, I'll be back on December 18th at 9 a.m. and Sonia, and there it is.
But we'll post them here.
Now the labor leader's screaming when they close the missile plant. United Fruit screams at the Cuban shore. Call it peace or call it treason, call it love or call it reason, but I ain't a marching anymore. No, I ain't a marching anymore.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about